I want to thank God for what our Lord is doing in Bethel Assembly. I'm so glad with what I can see here today. And I want to appreciate each and every one of us who has been part of what the Lord is doing in this assembly. So for every member of Bethel Assembly, I want you to give yourself a round of applause. You are doing such a wonderful thing, such a wonderful work. And I appreciate you all. The Lord continue to increase you more and more. You and your children, you and your family, in the name of Jesus. And secondly, I want to appreciate all workers in the house, you know, all members of the workforce. The church cannot do anything when you do have workers who are sold out to the work of God. So for all our workers, I say thank you for what you are doing. The Lord himself knows the best way to say thank you to you. That same God, he will appreciate you the way he knows best, in the name of Jesus. And also all our ministers, thank you very much for supporting a pastor and Pastor Mrs. Odunton. Thank God for your life. Thank God for your testimony. I appreciate you all. And for Pastor Rose and Pastor Niyi, church, I want us to just rise and appreciate the grace of God upon their lives. And I know why I'm saying so. For each and every one of us, when we first came to Canada, it was very rough. And I remember a particular year, when I was still new, I went to work the first day of the year, and I was told my job has ended. You know, some of you will say bad luck. First business day of the year, I got to the office excited. This year, the Lord will do a great thing in my life. This year. And I got there and I was told, no more job, no more work for you. And I went back home. But thank God I lost that job. It was temporary work. You know, thereafter I applied and I got a permanent work. So I lost a temporary job to get a permanent, my first permanent job in Canada came after I lost a temporary job. And I was there until I voluntarily left that place. So it could be rough initially. Now I know for Pastor Niyi and Pastor Rose, we were working together in Jesus House Scarborough, and things usually would be tough if you are new in Canada to settle down. You have to go back to school. And one thing I saw in their life, despite the challenges, their commitment never wavered. Despite the challenges, yet they were always there. You know, if you are familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, the Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Their lives are what I will call an epitome, a personification of that scripture. Always abandon. Despite lack of job, despite raising little children, despite the economic challenges. And Pastor Niyi, throughout the time we were together, even in his giving, he was consistent. I saw in him a great man of God. And Pastor Rose, a great woman of God. So please, let's appreciate the grace of God upon their lives. Preach the name of the Lord. And I pray for both of them. The Bible says the Lord gives power to the faint. To them that lack might, he increases strength. The Lord will continue to renew their strength. They will never fail. They will never grow weary. The grace of God will be sufficient for them. The Bible said, the Lord, my God, will increase you more and more. You and your children, the Lord will increase you. Your children shall be greater than you. In the name of Jesus. Your children shall do well. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. So thank you very much, Pastor Niyi, for what you are doing. And Pastor Rose, we appreciate the grace of God upon your life. Please have your seat. Please have your seat. Yes, I know my time is going, but I'm going to keep to the time. See, before I get to the sermon, Bethel Assembly is celebrating 15 years. Now, what do we expect in the next 15 years? It's still not my sermon. I want to say something. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, the things you have heard of me, the same committed to not just anybody. Commit to who? Commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Bethel Assembly, the next 15 years, we need men and women who are committed. Men and women who are committed. We need men and women who are selfless. We need men and women who can hazard, who can risk their lives for the sake of the kingdom. The next 15 years, we need men and women who are not given to excuses. Yesterday, I was in a leadership meeting, and some of our leaders brought to my attention some of the things happening in their various departments. How somebody will say, Pastor, my wife just delivered a baby. I want to take a leave of absence. Pastor, I just lost my job. Give me 6 months leave of absence. I just laughed. And I told them, did you know that these problems you are talking about, that pastors have the same problem? How many people know that? The men of God have the same problem. Because we are human beings. I'm a human being. As a pastor, I had lost my job before. And the work of God continued. Everybody here has personal problems. But you want to make sure that all your life, you are not babysitting your personal problems. Because I found out one problem will go, another one will do what? When I first came to Canada, I thought the only problem was God, any job. God, any job. And any job came. Then my prayer changed. Lord, permanent job. Permanent job. Permanent job. And you thought when that problem is solved, that is the end. Permanent job came. Then, Lord, increase in salary. Lord, you know my commitment. Salary was increased. Then, Lord, mortgage. I need a house. I need a house. Honestly, and the cycle continues. But you want to make sure that's not what you are living for. Challenges will come. The next 15 years in Bethel Assembly will require men and women who are selfless. Men and women who will lay aside their personal issues. Who will say, the Lord has committed something into my hand, and that thing will not suffer. Something happened in the life of David. The Bible says David was thirsty in the Bible. And he cried out, oh, that someone would give me of the waters of Bethlehem. And the Philistines, they had surrounded Bethlehem. The enemy's garrison was against Bethlehem. But David wanted what? The waters in Bethlehem. God has his own standard. We cannot rewrite the standard of God when it comes to the work of God. David knew what he wanted. Not the waters of Jericho, the waters of Bethlehem. We are told that some men risked their lives. And they went there. They fought against the enemy. And they gave David what he wanted. And David offered that water to the Lord. So we need, Bethel Assembly need men and women like that. Regardless of where they are. They have not paid their bills. They have lost their job. But they know the Lord is calling me to do something. The Lord is calling me to take a stand. And I tell you, as you do that, the Bible tells me God is not unrighteous. He will not forget your labor of love. Despite all the challenges today, Pastor Rose and Pastor Niyi, God has given them amazing testimonies. And for many of us who are standing, even though we have fought from battles, but thank God, the Lord has given us testimonies. And I see you the next 15 years, the Lord is giving you testimonies in the mighty name of Jesus. So let's go to the Word of God now. I have 30 minutes left. First Samuel chapter 7 from verse 1 to 12. First Samuel chapter 7 from verse 1 to verse 12. I know in this church you use King James, but I like New King. But let's use King James because I'm in Bethel Assembly. And the men of Kajat Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord, brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. Verse 3, I'll be jumping from verse to verse there because of time. And Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you and prepare your heart. So the Lord is looking for men and women who will return to him with all their heart. Men and women who will prepare their heart unto the Lord, who will serve him only. God is going to deliver them out of the hand of whatever enemies around them. And in verse 9, Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered a burnt offering to the Lord. Samuel said unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him cry unto the Lord. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. They were smitten before Israel. Verse 12. And that Samuel took a stone and set it between Mishpeh and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto or thus far, the Lord has helped us. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the word Ebenezer literally means stone of help. Samuel raised a stone just to commemorate, just to appreciate and acknowledge what the Lord has already done for them. So Samuel raised a visible reminder of the intervention of God, of the visitation of God, of the deliverance of God, so that the people could take notice and remember what the Lord has done for them. Thus far, or hitherto, that expression means, number one, that we are still standing. Bethel Assembly, I rejoice with you today. Why? Hitherto, thus far, you are still standing. that you are standing today is a testimony. I heard about a lot of churches who had to fold up during the pandemic. I know someone close to me, a man of God, who informed me that he will be closing down his church, but not for Bethel Assembly. 15 years, we are still standing. Praise the name of the Lord. Number two, thus far, either to me, we are not yet finished. In other words, the Lord is not yet finished with Bethel Assembly. And I can tell you, as somebody who oversees a province of the redeemed Christian Church of God, Bethel Assembly, I lie not, is one of the best performing parishes in our province. Considering every metrics, Bethel Assembly is one of the best performing parishes in our province. And I'm proud of what Pastor Niyi is doing. Let's again give him a round of applause. Please, let's celebrate him. I always say something in our parish. I always say, celebrate the living. If your pastor is doing something great, celebrate him. If Pastor Rose is doing something great, if your minister, if your HOD, if a fellow worker, a fellow member of this church is doing something great, what do? I beg you, please celebrate it. Why? As a pastor, I've attended a lot of funerals. But this time yesterday, I was in a funeral. We call it celebration of life. But the person had gone. And I hear people saying a lot of things the dead did. But the man was not, he's no longer here. The man could not hear you. But when he was alive, did you tell him how good he was? When he was alive, did you tell him how kind he was? And we call it celebration of life for the dead. But please, I encourage you. First and foremost, what do? Celebrate the living. If you see good thing in the life of any, I know in some cultures, we are not brought up to be expressive. But I have to learn it. You know, in marriage, there's something called the 5 languages of love. My wife's love language is word of affirmation. Naturally, I am an introvert. I don't talk. Some time ago, I preached, and somebody told me many years ago, Brother Philip, I didn't know you can talk. And I said, I didn't know I can talk too. I only preach. So I'm an introvert. But to have a good marriage, now, how many men here you think you are an introvert? How many men? God bless. Are you married? Have you learned to express yourself to your wife? Okay. I'm saying that if your wife's love language is word of affirmation, what do? Open your mouth. Open your mouth. I find that there are little things we can do that will help our marriages. Just little things. Somebody will say, I can't. Who told you you cannot? I'm saying that because it's still not my sermon. I'm saying that I have observed a lot of things. A lot of Christians, men of God, anointed, they don't have a happy marriage. Yet, till death do us part, they will stay together until they die. But for me, I want to have a happy marriage. But there is no marriage in heaven. Make the best of it now. If your spouse's love language is word of affirmation, maybe you have to write down what you'll be telling her. My brother, just write it down. Today, I like your hair. Today, I like your lipstick. today, little things. And I tell you, your marriage will celebrate the living. Thus far, hitherto, number three, signifies that God's help is continuous. The help of God has not ended. Therefore, Ebenezer reminds us that God's help is real. God's help is intentional. God's help is worth remembering. When we are celebrating today, what are we saying? We are saying that as a church, our survival, our progress, our victories are not accidental. They are evidence of divine help. A king said in the Bible, if the Lord does not help you, even a king could not help a fellow woman, if the Lord did not help you, where shall we be? Psalm 124. If not because the Lord has been our help, where shall we be? The help of God is continuous. And I tell you, Bethel Assembly, the Lord's help will never fail. The Lord's help will never diminish in the name of Jesus. So what is the message for us today? Ebenezer today and always. Ebenezer today and always. May I say that one of the best attitudes, a mindset that we can adopt continually is to remember, is to acknowledge, is to appreciate God for his interventions, for his healing, for his blessings, for his visitations, and for the many victories that we have experienced. That was why Samuel raised that stone, a visible reminder of what the Lord has done, so that they would take it to heart that it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by what? It is by the Spirit of the Lord. So how do we do this today, brethren? I want to share some things with you. Ebenezer today and always. How do we do that today? Number one, is for us to continually recognize in our lives, in our situations, the help of God. The help of God. God is our help in times of battle. God is our help in times of weakness. God is our help in times of need. Many battles we have survived this year. Bethel Assembly, many battles we have survived the last 15 years. But the Lord has made you to enjoy victory by the grace of God. Is to continually recognize the help of God. Let me say something I have experienced in life. When it comes to help, the mistake we sometimes make is we are looking up to man. There are many of you here looking at me. You may have helped somebody in the past. Now you are expecting them to compensate you in return. There are many of you here, you are looking up to a particular person to help you. I have found that if God has not touched the heart of somebody, the Bible says, vain is the help of man. Many of us are living our life, we are depressed, we are down, we look somehow. Why? We always say it, they have disappointed me. Men are not good. All men are bad. If God has not put it in the heart of anybody to help you, there is nothing they can do. And if a person has not been moved to help you, I tell you, what do you do? Look unto God. David says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From where comes what? From where comes my aid? I don't feel anyhow. If anybody has decided not to help me, it is because God has not put it in your heart. It is because you are not the one that will solve that problem. And I've seen God manifest himself in diverse ways, miraculous ways, even in my life. Even when I had initially thought it would be somebody else. What do you do? Look unto God. Let your trust be in the living God. And you will not be put to shame in the name of Jesus. And number two thing, Ebenezer, today and always, is to remember where the Lord has brought us from as a church. We should continue to remember it. And that's why I have told you today that you are one of the best performing parishes. You have done so well. So continue to remember where the Lord has brought you from. One thing I found out with human beings is that we tend to forget easily. We tend to forget. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, from verse 2, the Lord was telling the Israelites, remember the journey of 40 years, how the Lord has sustained you in the wilderness. You did not lack anything. Your shoes were not worn out. I am the Lord who has helped you. The Lord said, remember. And even at our own individual level, I want you to cultivate that habit. Always remembering. For many of you looking at me today, I know how many days of fasting you did to come to Canada. How many days of fasting? God, if I can just cross the ocean. Now you have crossed the ocean. It's another complaint. Human beings can complain. We tend to forget. That was why Samuel raised that stone, something visible, something all can see, so that they will always remember. At the crossing of the Jordan, even Joshua said, if your children should ask you in future, tell them how the Lord has delivered you. I tell you, if you can remember, you will always be grateful. I've seen believers, Christians, they're always negative. They always look at what is not good. They always say, Canada is dry. When I hear you making that confession, Canada is dry, I will turn my back. Canada will not be dry for me. Canada will not be dry for you. We tend to forget what the Lord has done. That's one thing I like about David. When he faced Goliath, in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, he began to recount and remember what the Lord has done when he faced this problem. How many of us, when we face our own problems, can remember that the Lord who has made you to cross the ocean, Atlantic Ocean or Pacific Ocean, that same God will not abandon you here. That same God will not forsake you here. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, of the bear, that same God would deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. And as he confessed it, the Lord said, as you have spoken in my ears. That was what the Lord did for David. For many of you, it's all about negative confession. May I challenge our workers, our leaders in this church. anything you have to say about Bethel Assembly, let it be something good. Don't be one of the workers or leaders who will always complain and murmur and nag about the church. They are not meeting my need. How many needs have you met since you joined this church? Nobody has ever come to my house. How many people have you visited? How many phone calls have you made since you joined this church? How many lives have you touched? That is the heart of the gospel. We have been called to serve, not waiting until somebody calls me, until somebody visits me, until somebody gives me a gift. Brethren, Christmas gift. How many have you given it to this church? Now, many of you here, I won't ask you to show your hands. Eh? For the past 15 years, how many of you have written a check for Pastor Niyi? I don't want to embarrass you. There is something we call pastor's appreciation. I know it's not by compulsion, but it's something good. Because having been a pastor, I know what pastors go through. Eh? Sunday morning, I wake up, I have a headache. A church member will call me sick. Your pastor will not call me sick. Sunday morning, they wake up. There is flu symptom. Many of us will call me sick for 2 Sundays. They will not call me sick. They are still there at their duty post. Please give them a round of applause. I know what it takes to pastor a church. How many of you, the past 15 years, you just saw Pastor Rose? Pastor Rose, I appreciate the grace of God upon your life. Please, from my family, a check of $1,000. Just a token. It's little, but just a token. I don't know how many of you have done that. I want to encourage you. Celebrate men and women of God that God has placed upon you. Rejoice with them. Pray for them. Be a blessing to them. And even within the church as a whole, be a blessing to somebody. For it is more blessed to give than what? Than to receive. Remember where the Lord has brought you from. Dangers of forgetfulness. Number one, ingratitude. I have seen people, they are never grateful. One reason is because they always forget what the Lord has done. That's why David wrote Psalms upon Psalms. He was a man who could think. Who could remember? You cannot accuse David of ingratitude. Self-reliance, spiritual drift, because we have forgotten where the Lord brought us from. Ebenezer today and always. Number three, Samuel raised that visible reminder so that people should know how to respond to God's help. So how do we respond? As members of this assembly, as individual believers, every time we look back, we can see the stone of help. Ebenezer, thus far, the Lord has helped us. How do we respond? Number one, respond with thanksgiving. 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 Number two, respond. Share your testimony. Thank God for the people of God who shared their testimony today. And I can tell you the Lord has done a lot of things in this assembly. Even in your own individual lives, you could see the help of God that you have enjoyed. Share your own testimonies. What the Lord has done for you, who you used to be, who he has made you to become today. A man encountered Jesus in Mark chapter 5. He used to be a madman. A madman encountered Christ, and the Lord delivered him. Mark chapter 5, 18 to 20. We are told that the man pleaded with Jesus after he had been healed. Jesus, I want to follow you. But the Lord told him, you don't have to follow me. Go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy. Someone who has just experienced Christ, one day old believer. We are told he went to the whole region and began to testify. For many of us here, we have been in this land for years. Have you ever testified to somebody about Christ? What he has done for you, who you used to be, how the Lord has had mercy on you. Share your testimonies about your salvation, how the Lord has saved you. Share your testimonies about the wonders of God like David did, the Lord who delivered me. Share your testimonies about the blessings of God in your life to show that there is hope for somebody. And I can always tell anybody coming to this land from my own experience that there is hope for you in Canada. That in this land, God is able to make a way for you. And he will make a way for you. That is my personal testimony. And I know it can encourage somebody. How do we respond to God's help? Respond with commitment. Bethel Assembly members, double your commitments. Many more territories to take over. Population of Oshawa, about 150,000. So let's ask ourselves, like I always tell our church members too, how many of them are in our church? Some people think churches are competing. Please, there is no competition. There's no competition. Someone can leave this church and go to another church. Please, there are sinners out there. There are 150,000 people in Oshawa. How I wish majority of them could find their way into the church. More commitment, more work to do, more sinners to preach to, more people to invite to Bethel Assembly. Respond to God's help through service. Serve God. I want you to make a covenant of service. The Lord, as long as I have my being, I will serve you. The Bible says, the living shall praise God. The dead cannot do some things. As long as I have my being, I will serve you. So somebody say after me, Lord, I covenant with you. Oh, louder than that. I'm not asking you to confess money now. Once again, Lord, I covenant with you. That as long as I have my being, I will serve you. My life is a sacrifice to your glory. Respond in sacrifice. Number four, thus far means, I want to assure you, good news for you is that more is coming. Bethel Assembly, more is coming. The Lord is doing more. The Lord is opening doors. The Bible says a great and effectual door. I prophesy it's being opened for Bethel Assembly. No adversary shall be able to resist the move of God. Even the power, the principalities will not be able to resist, to stand against what the Lord is going to do through Bethel Assembly. More is coming. Ebenezer was not an ending. It was a checkpoint. a time of reflection. And the same God who helped you thus far, that same God will help you from here onward. That same God will not abandon you. That same God will increase you more and more. That same God will empower you to do more for God. That same God will pour his grace upon you. Bible says he's able to release more grace, to make his grace abound towards us. You having all sufficiency, even what you need to serve God, the resources you need, the Lord will provide. I shared with our church members a couple of weeks ago. Many years ago, I used to be a church accountant. From being a church accountant, I became a parish pastor. And I said, I have never seen God pour down dollars. So how many of you here know we pay utilities here? We pay mortgage. We clean the chair. We do a lot of things. What does it take? It takes money, dollar. I don't know about your work with God. For me, I've never seen God pouring dollar. I don't know, Pastor, whether God has poured physical dollar here. You came to church on Sunday morning, you see the whole place filled with dollars. So how does the money come to pay the mortgage? Can somebody tell me how does the money come? Through who? The Lord will root the money through the pocket of those who are faithful. That's what happens in every church. God doesn't release dollars. When God wants to bless a church, the Lord will provide the money. The Lord will root the money through some people's bank account. For some, they will keep the money there, God's money. For some, they will release the money willingly to God. And God says, I'm able to make all grace to abound towards people like that. I want you to be among the faithful. I know every time we mention money, many Christians become jittery. Money again, money again. Don't worry. Bible says, let every man as is convinced. I believe in the principle of conviction when it comes to money. But according to the word of God, do you know what happens to me and my wife? Every other year, CRA, Revenue Canada, we always send us a notice. Please provide the receipt. Provide the evidence that you have given maybe about 60,000. I'm sure they can't comprehend it. How can somebody give this much? And for me and my wife, that has been our story. Even CRA, we wonder. Give us the receipt. And I will gather all the receipts. And I will give it to them. And they are always satisfied. Because it baffles unbelievers that somebody will give this much. Why? The Bible says, Deuteronomy 8:18, remember, the Lord who gives you what? The power, the ability. I have come to understand that without the power and the ability to produce wealth, nothing will come. That's one way you can remember and give it to God in return. I want to challenge you. As from this year, when CRA sees your giving, when you file your tax, let them be baffled. Let them be baffled. That somebody can give this. We are told in the book of Acts of Apostles that a particular man sold a piece of land and did what? He brought the money to the church. Years ago, as a newly wedded couple, my wife and I, in the city of Lagos, Nigeria, about 1 or 2 years into our wedding. We got some money to buy 2 plots of land. Who doesn't want to have land in Lagos? But the Lord said, the money is not for your land. The money is for the church. And we gave the money to God. But thank God today, my wife and I, we wanted to buy that plot of land to build a house, one house. But today, to the glory of God, my family has not less than 5 houses. That was 1993. The Lord tested us, young couple, nothing much, saving to buy land. The Lord said, give me the money. And we obeyed God. And the Lord used the money for his glory. Many of you have been praying and praying and praying. The next 15 years, the Lord needs men and women like that. And as you do that from my own experience, the Lord is not unfaithful. He will not forget your labor of love. In the mighty name of Jesus.